Good morning. I'm Kathleen Dunn on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio for this Tuesday, the 11th of June. A recent article in The New Yorker caught our attention, written by Jane Mayer, and it is titled, A Word from Our Sponsor, Public Television's Attempts to Placate David Koch. We have posted that piece on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. It's very well written, and it concerns really two documentaries, Park Avenue, Money, Power, and the American Dream, and Citizen Koch, which concerns the aftermath, and that's in terms of a huge infusion of money after the Citizens United decision. Much of the film Citizen Koch centers on Wisconsin, and one of the filmmakers says that the film critically examines the profusion of corporate cash in the political process. David Koch was a member of the board of public television WNET in New York and WGBH in Boston, and also a large financial contributor. Neither film portrays him in a favorable light, and the article looks at how he was approached when they learned that he was not going to be portrayed very nicely in Park Avenue. And it also looks at how the Independent Television Service, which is in charge really of bringing fine documentaries to public television stations all over the country, how they pulled their support of Citizen Koch. Were they responding to political pressure? Was WNET, WGBH, were they all responding to political pressure? So this hour, we really have two missions. We'll be speaking with the creators of Citizen Koch, Tia Lesson and Carl Diehl. They are highly respected documentary filmmakers. They created Trouble the Water in 2008 about Hurricane Katrina, which won the Sundance Film Festival's Grand Jury Award. They were producers for Fahrenheit 9/11 and Bowling for Columbine. And Lesson worked with Martin Scorsese on documentaries about Bob Dylan and George Harrison. We should also tell you, because the response from Independent Television Service, who we did invite to be on this program, and they declined, but they did issue a fairly lengthy response, so we thought we would put that rather than reading the whole thing. That is on our Facebook page as well, which again is The Kathleen Dunn Show. We'll be welcoming phone calls from you. Our phone number is 800-486-8655. 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page is The Kathleen Dunn Show. Some of you may have had a chance to see Citizen Koch at film festivals. You haven't seen it on public television yet. Maybe you will at some point. I did have a chance to view it yesterday. Tia Lesson, thank you very much for being with us.
Thanks so much for having us.
Yeah. Our pleasure. Carl Diehl, thank you so much for being with us.
Thank you, Kathleen.
Before we talk about the controversy, let's talk about the film, because of a variety of circumstances, not too many people have had a chance to see this film. As you have said, Carl, essentially it's about what happened, the huge profusion of money that came into campaigns, and you center on Wisconsin in this film after the Citizens United decision.
That's right. That's right. You know, we were interested in trying to understand what the actual real impact was of Citizens United, which was a Supreme Court decision that came down in January 2010, and essentially allowed corporations and unions to be able to spend money out of their general treasuries on elections, previously banned activities or heavily regulated activities. So there was an awful lot of talk about what the impact of Citizens United was, but it was a baby decision. It was brand new. And so we were interested in trying to find a place where we could evaluate the impact. And it happened that as we were poking around, Governor Walker issued his Act 10, and I guess all heck broke loose in Madison.
Yes, it did.
And so we were drawn to the political drama unfolding there and hoped that that would give us a window into what Citizens United had done.
And you concentrated on the state of Wisconsin. You looked at the impact of Americans for Prosperity, and this is probably where controversy comes into play here, perhaps, which is funded by the Koch brothers. And its purpose is what, Tia?
Well, Americans for Prosperity is not only funded by the Koch brothers, it was actually founded by the Koch brothers. And they're essentially, you know, the political arm of Coke, you know, the Coke empire. It's run by Tim Phillips, a political strategist. They claim to have spent about $20 million in Wisconsin during the 2011-2012 period. I'm sorry, $10 million. And they report spending another $36 million to defeat President Obama in 2012. Much of this money actually isn't even disclosed. So, quite frankly, besides Tim Phillips' admissions, we don't know actually how much money was spent in Wisconsin or throughout the country. But we saw a lot of activity, and we tracked not only Americans for Prosperity, but a lot of independent groups and Tea Party groups and unions as they were spending money on the recall election.
You also covered, you centered on a couple people who were really lifelong Republicans and described themselves as such, but they had serious concerns, mostly over the collective bargaining issue. Why did you go that route in the film?
Well, you know, these were lifelong Republicans who concluded that Walker's policies, you know, would undercut their family standard of living. But not only that, that Walker was dishonoring their lifelong commitment to public service. These were nurses and school teacher and a corrections officer. And we were curious about this rift in the Republican Party between some aspects of the party that support and promote America's wealthiest, and you know, working Republicans who come out of a more progressive tradition of the Republican Party that was founded in the very state of Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, what we found is there was among a lot of folks we spoke with and spent time with over the course of really 2 years of filming, there's a really deep sense of betrayal from the party, from the Republican Party, a betrayal of sort of their core values and their core mission, and a sense that money had really taken control. Now, look, money isn't a new thing in politics. you know, people have been deploying money in very creative ways to swing elections, to influence politicians, to even, you know, promote specific pieces of legislation. But there's something a little bit different. There's been a profound shift in the culture around that in the aftermath of Citizens United. And I think one of the ways that we understand that we've been seeing the impact in Wisconsin, for example, is here's a state with a very, very strong history of campaign finance laws. And you know, all of a sudden these laws just are unenforceable after Citizens United. So you know, for us, that's one of the things that I think we concluded in the time we spent in Wisconsin, is there are 22 states all over the country that are sort of in the same boat, that had strong laws or disclosure provisions, and they have since ceased to enforce them. And so we thought it'd be nice to show people what it looks like from the ground level.
Mm-hmm. Can you say fairly definitively, Tia, and I wonder how you might be able to say this, that that the number of ads, the amount of money in an election where one side, and in this case it was a Republican advantage, both in the general election and then for the recall election of the governor, had more money than the Democrats had? On the other hand, some were saying or suggesting that maybe we had reached the point of diminishing returns on that money because we were so bombarded in this state with television commercials that were repeating themselves every 2 minutes that some questioned whether or not the infusion of that kind of cash made any difference.
Well, what we know is that whether or not a candidate wins, these kinds of ads, you know, broadcast ads, print ads, radio ads, they inform public opinion. They help to define the terms of the debate. And so whether or not they're actually assisting a candidate or an issue at the ballot box, they're certainly informing how public policy is made. And that's what's really wrong about this kind of money, because a lot of it's just flat out, you know, wrong. It's lies. It's misinformation. And so that we looked at that as well, and how even when money doesn't win, it actually wins. Buddy, we followed the case of Buddy Romer, a Republican candidate for president, who is just trying to get into the presidential debates. He's a former governor of the state of Louisiana. He's a former congressman. But because he hasn't raised enough money, he can't even get into the debates. And so money is actually determining, again, not only who wins, but who gets to run in the first place.
Mm-hmm. Let's hear a little bit of Buddy Romer. We have a couple clips from the film. And so for people to have a chance to hear what they're talking about, this is Buddy Romer, Congressman Buddy Romer, who not too many people knew was running because, as they have said, he didn't have the money and he couldn't get in the debates.
I would like you to do something different. I would like you to bring a check, but not $35,800 on Wall Street. 60 bucks, and have your neighbor do that, and have 1 million people do that, and then 5 million people do that, and then guess who runs the country? The people do. I thought that's what the Constitution said. I thought that's what the Declaration of Independence said. Well, let me repeat what it says. It says, we will not stand the tyranny of a king. We will not live in a country where there are classes of people, the very rich and the very poor. What has America become?
He describes that bring 60 bucks, write a check, and have your neighbor do the same. You think of that now. 60 bucks? Are you kidding me? That'll get you nowhere.
It's the ultimate crowdsourcing, right? I mean, mm-hmm. Imagine, you know, run a Kickstarter campaign for president is really what he's talking about. And frankly, you know, that is maybe one way we can get out of this situation, relying on a lot of small dollar donors that won't hold sway over our elected officials, rather than two or three or a dozen high dollar donors that will.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and Buddy could have raised enough money. He could have hit the thresholds, the moving bar. He chose not to. He took a principled stand. This is, you know, Governor Romer ran for president in the Republican Party. He'd been a Republican for 22 years, explicitly to push this conversation into the dialogue and to participate in the debates. Because this is an issue, the issue of how money gets deployed in elections, that crosses party lines and affects everybody, and nobody likes it. And it turns out that the people who decide who gets to stand on that stage didn't like it either. And that's some combination of the party and the hosts, you know, the host broadcaster. Governor Romer decided not to take any PAC contributions. He capped all contributions at $100. And he got blown out of the water.
He sure did. All right, let's get to the part of the story. I've seen the film. You created the film. There are people who have seen it because at film festivals, including one in Wisconsin, it was packed. But the larger public has not seen the film. Why?
Well, public television had commissioned our film last spring, but I guess fearing that our film would displease David Koch, who is a large contributor to PBS and a trustee of two flagship PBS stations, public television backed out on our deal. So the film was due for a broadcast in the coming year, and because I think they were really trying to placate David Koch, they just dropped their support for our film and any chance of a public broadcast.
You want to add to that, Carl?
It's devastating. Look, the Independent Television Service curates the premier broadcast venue for high quality documentary films. It's a program called Independent Lens, and it's really the holy grail of documentaries. And not just because, you know, the quality of the programming, but it's the public television audience.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's the largest free television audience that you can reach because everybody can tune into PBS. And we felt, you know, we were thrilled when, about a year and a half into our production, they came in and joined us as production partners and worked together with us towards completion and towards an air date sometime in the coming year.
And so it was devastating when we lost access to that audience. We want to talk about how the money of the few can drown out the voices of all the rest of us. And what better place to have that conversation than on public television? So we're deeply, deeply disappointed that we lost that audience, A, and B, of the circumstances around it.
The Independent Television Service issued a fairly lengthy response to you and also really to the New Yorker article on Park Avenue and Citizen Koch. I'm not going to read all of it. It would take a long time. It is posted on our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show. But perhaps most pertinent to our discussion, they say in the case of the proposed project, Citizen Corp, later retitled Citizen Koch, the filmmakers shift in editorial direction from the written proposal during the negotiation window led ITVS to cease negotiations.
Well, that's just not true. And look, we understand why ITVS would be embarrassed by all this. I mean, it's, you know, this is the fiercely courageous unit that's supposed to support documentaries just like ours. But the truth is that they killed the funding for our film that they'd commissioned because they were concerned about blowback from WNET, which is the major PBS affiliate where David Koch served as trustee. And WNET had come down hard on them for this previous film. And about a week later, they came down hard on us. So they really didn't have any concerns about our film. In fact, they championed works in progress throughout the summer and fall. But all of a sudden, after this Park Avenue film aired, ITVS executives were demanding that we take the name Koch out of the title of the film and that we de-emphasize the Kochs in the storyline. And we just thought that that was unacceptable. If they were making this request not for aesthetic reasons, for editorial reasons, but because they were afraid of this high-dollar donor. I mean, it just, donors should have no say over programming decisions or editorial content, and we just felt that it was an improper request, and it really jeopardized the integrity of our film to accede to these requests. And so we took a principled stand, and in response, they spiked the film.
You say David Koch served as trustee. He no longer serves as trustee in response to that film that you just talked about, Park Avenue? He quit?
That's right. Well, according to Jane Mayer's article, and she did a very carefully reported story, she found out that he was leaving his role as trustee in response to, I guess, you know, his displeasure because of the Gibney film, the Alex Gibney film. And I guess it's displeasure over WNET programming altogether. Now, he still continues to serve as a trustee for WGBH. But not only did he leave NET, they were anticipating a seven-figure donation from David Koch. And, of course, he took his money, you know, with him. I think it underscores the need for public financing for public media because these high-dollar donors, be they David Koch or anyone else, really shouldn't have this kind of sway over programming, and just like they shouldn't have this kind of sway over our politicians. So this whole episode that we have gone through now, I think, mirrors the very thing that our film is about.
We're going to welcome phone calls for both of you. We're talking with the filmmakers Tia Lesson and Carl Diehl, and their film Citizen Koch has been controversial in that public television decided that they would not be supporting this project. They received a lot of heat from David Koch, who was on the board of WNET and also Boston Public Television. There had been a film critical of the Koch brothers, Park Avenue, which aired before this Citizen Koch was to air, and evidently, there were special accommodations made to get David Koch to be part of a panel to respond to the film, which is something that was not normally done. He had not seen the film, but controversy ensued. He wound up resigning as trustee of WNET. But Independent Television Service, which, as our guest said, really nurture and serve as a way for independent filmmakers and many of them take on controversial subjects to find wide audiences, public television audiences, and the support for Citizen Coke was withdrawn, and we're talking about that and also what Citizen Coke is all about. So here's our number. Join our conversation. There are a lot of questions here. Does it point, as Tia said, to a necessity of having public television be public monies and not to have people from the corporate world involved on the boards so this political controversy doesn't happen? What do you think? Some of you maybe have had a chance to see the film at in Wisconsin at a film festival. Would you like to be able to see it? We'll also ask our guests, they've made this film, will there be a chance for people to see it in any widespread fashion? Here's our phone number, 800-486-8655. Lines are open for you right now, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, and our Facebook page, where we have posted the New Yorker article and also the response from ITVS, is the Kathleen Dunn Show. All right. We'll go to you in a moment. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Our two of our program today, we interviewed this gentleman about a little over a year ago. His name is Eugene Schultz, and he was in the U.S. Army in World War II. He wound up having some remarkable experiences, including while serving in Germany. He was an eyewitness to the first Nazi concentration camp that was discovered by American troops. He's written a fascinating book about his experiences in World War II, and they were significant. The book is titled The Ghost in General Patton's Third Army, The Memoirs of Eugene Schultz During His Service in the United States Army in World War II. Eugene is a Wisconsin guy, grew up in Clintonville, and you'll want to hear what he has to say. Here's our phone number for you to join the conversation, 800-486-8655. Filmmakers, documentary filmmakers, Tia Lesson and Carl Deal are our guests. While the phone calls are coming in, and there are many of them, Tia and Carl, are you exploring any options, and what options are open to you right now so that people can see the film that you spent 2 years on?
Yes, well, first of all, we have a website, citizencoke.com, and folks can go on that site, see our trailer, and request a screening of the film. We can let you know if you sign up on our email list when the DVD is coming out, when it might be coming to a theater near you. But we can, you can also request a screening of the film in your public library, your community group, in your school. So right now we're doing a DIY kind of situation, and but we hope, you know, that we can get the film out there. We intend to. We didn't work this hard on the film to just be stopped. We also have to honor the voices of the people who are in the film. They spoke with us, they entrusted their voices to us, and we have an obligation to make sure that their voices get heard. So we're doing our best, and again, our website is citizencoke.com.
And is there a way for you to directly go to public television stations all over the country and say, here's our film, you know there's been controversy about this, would you please look at it, and will you please air it?
Well, the problem is that, you know, ITBS, the Independent Television Service, yanked our funding, first of all. So we have a funding gap that we need to fill. And, you know, ironically, Gary Denny, who's the director of programming for Wisconsin Public Television, happens to be the chair of the board of directors of ITBS. And, you know, it's too bad, I think, that a program that's so, of such import for Wisconsin viewers got spiked by this institution that Gary, you know, runs, or the board, he runs the board of directors. And, you know, I hope that Wisconsin viewers ask some hard questions. There are public television stations that may want to run our film, and we'd invite that, but we don't have the ability to go to, you know, scores of different public television entities and make, you know, deals for the film. I mean, we have no distribution.
Let's go to phone calls. 800-486-8655 is our number. Email is talk@wpr.org. Al in Land O'Lakes. Hi.
Hi. First off, Kathleen, once again, I have to thank you for giving me hope for our species. Anyway, I caught Independent Lens, you know, Park Avenue film, and it blew my mind. First off, Chuck Schumer, who is a Democrat, actually put a line on our income tax form, which helps rich people save a lot of money. Then also, Coke owns all the refineries. Why is gas $4.50 right now? Well, they just shut down two refineries in Illinois. And, God, I'm 65, but as far back as I can remember, they do this every year. And then little Paulie Ryan, and his plan for prosperity, his budget plan was just a tax. Poor people. I'm poor now because I lost everything in 2008. Taking away low-income housing and food stamps and on and on and on. And I guess my last question, oh, I love the portrait of Mr. Burns at the end, portraying David Koch. Anyway, are they going to show this again? I'd love to see it again, Park Avenue film, and I'll hang up and listen.
All right, thanks very much for the call. And we should make, we're not talking about, I haven't seen that film. We're talking about the Citizen Koch film, but I know not as many people have had a chance to see it, more have seen Park Avenue. It is true that Chuck Schumer, according to Jane Mayer's article, took issue with some way that he was portrayed or a vote that he gave, and he complained to public television, and they stood by the film, right?
Well, WNET changed the film. The station that the public broadcasting station in New York, where David Koch served as a trustee and was a major donor, actually programmed the film differently in New York than it was programmed the rest of the country. Mm. They allowed David Koch and Koch Industries to add a disclaimer to the film after the film, a film that they actually hadn't even seen. And then they programmed a roundtable discussion after the film, which was, you know, fine. It's all good to debate a film, but they didn't invite the filmmaker on board for that discussion, which is highly unusual, giving essentially conservative thinkers the last word. But look, that film is out there. It got seen. You might even be able to see it on the internet. Our film, as a result of David Koch's displeasure around that film, you know, our film is spiked.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Is there a concern, do you think, among people in public television that they need to, that they're somewhat intimidated by conservative thinkers?
I would say so. you know, the Corporation for Public Broadcasting and PBS are sort of perennial targets of conservatives who, you know, who have all kinds of public entities in their sights, but particularly, you know, in this case, it's a venue for the arts and for public media, and to promote a diversity of viewpoints. And every couple of years or so, a politician goes after Big Bird, and there's a big outcry, you know, to try and save PBS. And little by little, you know, what I think the trend that we've been seeing over the last decades is that public broadcasting and public media are becoming more and more dependent on private financing because somebody's got to step in to fill the gap. You know, it's ironic that in the last election cycle, if you just look at, while our film isn't only about David Koch's spending, political spending, but if you look at the last election cycle, you know, David and Charles Koch deployed almost $500 million into shape public opinion and to influence candidates and voters. You know, that's a lot of money over the course of 2 or 3 years. With PBS, David Koch has donated $23 million over the year, and you know, and we see exactly how that also has an impact on the public discourse.
Mm-hmm. It is so much money, isn't it? It's just so much money.
It's so much money, and this is not about Republicans versus Democrats. This is about the agenda of the wealthiest and, you know, people in the rest of the country. I mean, as the last caller noted, the Charles Schumer line item benefited wealthy people. It wasn't about benefiting Democrats or Republicans. It was about, you know, benefiting the top 1%. And that's what's of concern. And this is a transpartisan issue. This isn't one party versus the other. Both parties are guilty of taking money from corporate interests and,
sure.
and having their policies shaped by them. It turns out that Citizens United happens to benefit the Republican Party more because these independent expenditures groups are mostly giving money on behalf of Republican candidates. But across the board, this is a problem.
Mm-hmm. Al, thanks for the call. Jerry in Franklin, hi.
Yes, Kathleen. Thanks so very much for having this program with these two excellent hosts. One question I have for you. My church does a screening of films. It's called First Friday Films periodically. And we get DVDs to show these. Do you have this Citizen Coke available on DVD that we could order and pay for and show here locally?
Yes. We have a lot of folks just like yourself who are organizing community screenings, and the DVD will be available. We're not doing a pledge drive right now, so that's not why I say that we do need. We have to close our funding gap before we can distribute the film. While the film is largely in finished form, it can't be distributed until we have some other obligations that we have to meet with different copyright holders of material that's used in the film. So absolutely. That's exactly the kind of community screening that we have requests, hundreds of requests from all over the country. And we encourage you to go to citizencoke.com. And there's a page there to organize a screening. And if you enter in your information there, anybody who'd like to bring the film to their community, you can sign up there. And it will be available soon, very soon, for those types of screenings.
Okay, terrific. And I'd just like to make one comment. I did watch 740 Park Avenue on the web, and through that I learned that only 12% of public television's budget is funded by federal funds. How we could even call this public television anymore if so little public funding is available for it? We really need to get people in Congress who authorize more public funding for public television and public radio. Also, I found it ironic that preface to the showing to the film on the web that there was a Goldman Sachs commercial.
Oh, was right, it really?
Right ahead of it. Yeah. So it just seemed so ironic to see that.
That is ironic. Thanks,
yeah.
Jerry. Thanks very much for the call. Claire is next in Baraboo. Hi, Claire.
Hi, Kathleen. Good morning.
Hi.
Just a comment and a question, I guess. I am so disappointed and dismayed to hear that public TV has become part of the problem. It all comes down to money once again. And until I'm on disability, so I'm poor. Before that, I was proud to be a supporter of public TV and public radio. I believe in both of them tremendously. And I guess just a general question would be, is there a solution? Maybe the last caller kind of got the answer to this already. What can we do to get the public back in it?
That's a really good question. I don't know if I have the answer to that. I do know that ITVS, Independent Television Service, will be quick to point out that they don't receive any private monies. They are almost completely publicly funded. Their core funding is from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting,
which is
our tax dollars.
Right.
However, they are, clearly responsive to the affiliate stations of PBS, like NET, that is completely, reliant on. We're almost completely relying on private dollars. So I think there's a lot we can do. I think we can support our local stations. We can call on Congress to budget more money for the Corporation for Public Broadcasting. And I think that we can also call on folks like ITVS to not be swayed by this kind of pressure.
In all fairness to public television, would you say, both of you, Tia and Carl, that your story really is an aberration and that public television has been courageous in presenting many points of view? Or do you, on the other hand, see this as a continuing alarming trend?
I would say it's a mixed bag, but PBS does have a reputation for both airing courageous, informative, groundbreaking informational programming, and also for airing some programming in some cases that is maybe a bit watered down. And they do bend over backwards in some cases to walk straight down the middle of the road, you know, which many understand is part of their responsibility. You know, what I can say is that the film that we've made and delivered to a T matches the standards and practices that would be required by public broadcasting to be aired. I mean, there's nothing in our film that isn't true. There's nothing in our film that isn't balanced. So I want to believe that it's an aberration that the influence of a high-dollar donor can even influence whether a film about the influence of high-dollar donors can get aired on public television or not. But, you know, we'll see. Time will tell.
We're talking with filmmakers Carl Diehl and Tia Lesson this hour of the program. They are highly respected documentary filmmakers. They won major awards after their film on Hurricane Katrina, and they have done other films. The problem with Citizen Coke is that many people have seen it, and we're talking about why that is the case, the controversy surrounding their film and the Coke brothers and public television, and also the organization that nurtures documentary filmmakers who pulled the plug on financial support for Citizen Coke, perhaps, according to an article in The New Yorker, because they felt pressure from David Koch and wanted his money in his appearance on their board of trustees. So it's a multi-layered story, part of what you're hearing on the air. Go to our Facebook page for the New Yorker article and also for the ITBS response to the New Yorker article. Our phone number is 800-486-8655, 800-486-8655. Our email is talk@wpr.org, our Facebook page, The Kathleen Dunn Show, and this is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Hour two of our program this Tuesday, we'll be talking with Eugene Schultz, who is the author of the just-released The Ghost in General Patton's Third Army, the memoirs of Eugene Schultz during his service in the United States Army in World War II, and they are striking memoirs, and he is just a wonderful human being. So that's coming up the second hour of the program. We wanted you to hear a couple of clips from this film so you get a little bit of a sense of what it's about. This is from Citizen Coke. It's Americans for Prosperity rallying to get voters to make phone calls, and here's a bit of it.
Let's make sure that we do our part to move this state forward and to keep moving it forward. Thanks for what you're doing.
Here's your phone for you. Hannah will tell you how to get on the system.
Hi, this is Jeremy. I'm a volunteer for Americans for Prosperity. Just wanted to let you know that Mayor Tom Barrett has raised taxes in Milwaukee every year but one since he became mayor. Do you believe that Wisconsin is on point
to save Wisconsin taxes?
Thank you very much for your time. I urge you to go to Americans for Prosperity.
Do you think in the post-Citizens United world you have more freedom to do what you have?
It doesn't impact us at all. We don't do election advocacy.
Really?
Again, Citizens United impacts Americans for Prosperity in no way, shape, or form.
This is not election advocacy.
That's an interview with Mr. Phillips, who is with Americans for Prosperity. And, of course, that part of the film took place in the state of Wisconsin. Let's go to more phone calls. 800-486-8655 is the number, and we go to Mark next. Hi, Mark.
Hi, how are you today?
All right, Mark, how are you?
I'm good. This is really quite infuriating to me, and the reason is the way I look at it this is an admission by Koch Industries and by the Koch brothers that what they're doing is wrong. The fact that they feel it's necessary to manipulate whether or not this information is aired is clearly an admission by them that, you know, how they pursue their megalomaniacal quest for wealth is in fact morally reprehensible. If they were truly willing to stand in their truth and say, you know, say what you will about us, we know that our behaviors have been above reproach, then they would allow this film to be aired. But the fact that they don't is an admission that they know in their heart of hearts that they are successfully destroying noblesse oblige in the United States, and that I think they need to be stopped. They absolutely need to be stopped. And hey, I'll listen to the comments.
All right, Mark, thanks for the call. Tia and Carl.
Well, look, not only is public television suppressing our film because out of fear of this high-dollar donor, David Koch, but the Republicans who guide our story have been shut out of the public airwaves. So, you know, we lost out on our commission, but more importantly, I think a public television audience and public television viewers are losing out on hearing from these important voices. Now, imagine if David Koch actually owned the media. Now, he just has some influence because he's a high-dollar donor, but he and his brother Charles are actually looking into buying 8 Tribune Company regional newspapers.
Mm-hmm.
These are the Los Angeles Times, the Chicago Tribune, the Baltimore Sun, the Orlando Sentinel, the Hartford Courant. I worry that if they do buy these papers would be at the service of their extremist agenda. And I say extremists, I don't say that lightly. They're climate change deniers. They undermine workers' rights. They are, you know, to the very, very, very far right in this country. And if they do succeed in buying those papers, I think the role of public media, PBS, public radio, in supporting and airing independent and divergent views is even more essential. We need public media because corporate media is in these guys' targets.
Sharon is next. Hi, Sharon.
Good morning.
Morning.
Wow. I came in when you first started, and when I heard the word Coke, I just about lost the cookies. They are so influential in our state government, in our national government, with their money. And I never, ever in my wildest dreams would think that public, underline, television and public radio would have to bend to them in order to stay on the air. Now, the rest of you folks out there that think like I do, get your $10 a month in there so you can be sustainers as I am. My little $10 isn't going to do a whole lot against Koch Brothers, but it's a voice, and that's what we have to do. We can't know what's going on if you people don't tell us, and it's not going to be told to us on commercial broadcasting. It's got to be told through public access, public radio, and public television. Otherwise, we won't know. I'm out here literally in the boonies, and newspapers here are leaning one way or the other. So I trust you guys to give us the whole scoop. If I'd have known a year ago that Koch Brothers were doing this, I don't know what I would have done, but my little $10 probably wouldn't have come your way. That's all I can say. We have got to take action. We've got to stand up on our hind legs, stiffen our backbones, and say, wait a minute. This used to be a democracy, and we've got to fight to keep it that way.
Thank you, Sharon, for your call. Tia and Carl.
Yeah, thank you, Sharon, for saying that. And it reminds us that we have to thank Kathleen Dunn and Wisconsin Public Radio for doing this hour on this really important issue. I mean, this is what public media should be talking about, is difficult political issues. And so thank you again for having us on the show. You know, it also reminds me that one of the things that drew us to this story and drew us to looking at some of what the Kochs were up to in particular is that they do go to great lengths, as the previous caller had said, to take their name out of it, to brand their political activities with something else. And as we understand, you know, now, what it is that they do, really, a lot of these activities just can't stand the light of day. I mean, they have to happen in secret because there would be public outrage. And we're really also very grateful that that the New Yorker took the time to carefully report the story about how the Koch's presence on the board of WNET had an impact on whether or not our film would get its
Yeah, somebody had to write the story, and she did a very thorough... You can't really take issue with what she said. She's a heck of a reporter, and it's a very good piece.
We're also grateful to groups in Wisconsin, like Mike McCabe's Wisconsin Democracy Campaign and the Center for Media and Democracy. They did groundbreaking work, and they continue to do groundbreaking work to... help the public understand where this money is coming from and how it gets deployed. And we certainly relied on both these groups in telling our story. And they need public support as well. So check out those websites, WISDC.org, Center for Media and Democracy, and also check out our website, CitizenKoch.com. You can order the film, you can check out our trailer, you can sign up for updates, and we can let you know when it's coming back to Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Because, of course, a great deal of this documentary centers on the state of Wisconsin and what happened, which is quite historic for this state with the recall and what happened with collective bargaining. We've been through wild times, which is an understatement here in Wisconsin. We just want to let everybody know, and evidently listeners are doing this as well. So an email, and our producers have done this too, called Wisconsin Public Television, and Wisconsin Public Television has said that the film has not been made available to Wisconsin Public TV. If it were to be made available, they would review it and determine its worth based on time-honored criteria.
Great, great. We're really happy to hear that from them through the intermediary of Kathleen Dunn.
Okay.
So thanks for sharing that information with us.
You are welcome. Let's go to one more phone call, Marion in Crystal Lake, Illinois. Hi, Marion.
Hi.
Hi.
My problem with a lot of this, we support public radio, we support public TV. We have done so for probably close to 40 years. And what we're finding, and I don't think you all do this, but a lot of places sell our name and information to everybody in the world.
Oh, we don't do that.
Certainly politicians do. And we get bombarded with, and I don't even, can't even tell you how much junk mail.
Mm-hmm. Well, we just want to assure you, Marion, that we do not do that here. And we make a point of telling people we don't sell your name to nobody. Never. No how. Thank you, Marion, very much for the call. Tia and Carl, thank you so much. Just in the minute that we have left, where are you going from here?
Well, we're pretty scrappy. You know, we're going to do what we can to get this film out there, and we need your help. We need your listeners' help. This is a film, I think, that's near and dear to the people of Wisconsin, and so we'd be really grateful for the help of folks from the state. And we're going to do our very best to get the film out there, and CitizenKoch.com, again, is our website. We also think that, you know, we need to continue to advocate for support, public financing for public media, and public financing for our elections. We got to get this big money out of the process and free up our democracy.
Well, and you're hearing it from all quarters right now, too. We interviewed Olympia Snowe last week, and I was struck by how completely concerned she is about Citizens United, and she's leading a group of people who, bipartisan group, to do something about all of this. There are a lot of people who are concerned, Republicans, Democrats, Independents, Libertarians, you name it.
Absolutely. Absolutely. It affects each and every one of us. And again, it's not Republicans versus Democrats. It's big money and powerful interests versus the rest of us.
Yeah.
So we can all take action. We can subscribe to public media. We can We can finance our own elections. We can watch films like ours and others, support other independent documentary films that tell the truth out there.
Tia, thanks so much. Carl, thank you so much. Tia Lesson and Carl Deal, their film is Citizen Coke, and you may eventually be able to see it at something other than a film festival. Thanks to KP Whaley for producing the show, and thanks for all of your interest and your calls. Stay tuned. A wonderful World War II vet is joining us next hour.